I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is entrepreneur Daniel Abarca. We discuss tourism in downtown and the upcoming World Knife and Axe Throwing Championships in Fort Worth, in which he will represent the heart of Texas. I'm really grateful that you're here. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to be here.
What's your Waco story? I know you came from Mexico. You used to be a tour guide in Mexico. Now you're doing tourism in Waco. What's the history of Danny?
All right. So, well, I moved in my life twice. When I was 14, I was born in the Pacific and the Gulf side of Mexico, Veracruz City. We were 14. I was 14. My mom moved to Cozumel when I was 14 years old. I started growing the tourism, you know, industry. I started doing tours. I started working in all-inclusive resorts. I started doing my own tours around the island, and I started working in this resort where I met my wife, Rachel Abarca. I was an entertainer, and we met. We kind of continued with the conversation and the connection through Facebook, and then sooner or later, we get engaged. I moved to the States, and that's when everything started doing here.
So Rachel was working at the resort, or she was a guest at the resort?
She was a guest at the resort.
And you were the entertainment. So how were you entertaining your future wife at that time?
So, working almost 7 years in the hotel, so we started hosting shows and activities during the day for all the guests. You know, doing water volleyball in the pool, doing bocce ball, doing bartending lessons, doing all the entertainment that, you know, that all-inclusive offers to the customers. So then I was hosting shows at night. So this night I was hosting a talent show. So where people would jump on stage, sing the best song, and they will have a prize at the end, whoever wins. So while this person was singing "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston, if I'm not mistaken, and then as a part of being an entertainer and a host, you just interact with the audience. Grab anybody from the audience, put it on stage, dance with you, or do any funny things. So without me looking, I just went to the guest, the audience, grab my wife, or grab Rachel, jump on the stage, start dancing until the lady finished singing. And sooner or later, I knew that she was the one.
That sounds really similar to the story of Massimo De Campli, who's the chef at De Campli's.
I heard something.
Yeah, he had been a chef in the Grand Caymans, and that's where he met his wife. She was traveling from Waco with her family. After a shift, he was down on the beach having a beer, and they connected, and she convinced him to move to Waco, and now he's opened up a wonderful Italian restaurant here. So we love having all of this out-of-state talent coming into Texas. So what brought you exactly to Waco?
So this is the thing. When I met my wife, right, when we started long-distance dating, she still will go to Cozumel and visit me a few times just to spend time with me. Then I came here to Waco, I believe, a couple times before I moved here. But the original plan was me taking my wife from Texas. Well, at the time, she was living in Iowa. She graduated from Baylor and then moved to Iowa 1 year. That's when we met. So my plan was taking her from Iowa to Cozumel and just leave there, you know, because I was making decent money. No, as much as I make here, but I'm making decent money, good living. So everything changed. She got a promotion to be a full-time teacher. And then she said, hey, what about we just stay in Texas or in the States? And I'm like, no, why? I got a promotion. I don't care. I said, I don't care. I want to stay in Mexico. So anyways, so she convinced me to move here, and I moved here, and we started a life. Basically, I wasn't impressed with Waco when I came to visit first. For me, it was more like a ghost town. And I'm talking about 2014. And, you know, Waco wasn't the way Waco is today. So I wasn't impressive with the city. I was like, oh, what's going on with this? I want to live here. So she convinced me, and we moved here.
That was the first of many arguments Rachel has won over the last few years. So as someone who had come from a city in Cozumel, Mexico, that is so heavily tourism generated, and a lot of the activity is there because of tourists, and you come to Waco, this is before the silos had opened, so it really was a pretty sleepy town. Your vision of a tourist destination that you had in Cozumel, did you sense that Waco might be able to be something like that, be something that has a bustling tourism industry, or you were very pessimistic, just said, what am I doing in this podunk town? This was a terrible idea, Rachel.
Well, that's a really good question, because before the way Waco is right now, at first I wasn't that happy. I'll be honest, I wasn't happy living here. But then when I started, my wife at this time, she got to go to work, and I had to stay home alone. I didn't have any friends and anything. So I was kind of like depressed a little bit. But then when I started hanging out by myself in downtown Waco, I started seeing so many sites with history, which it brought me a feeling of like, okay, well, this is not all bad. Like, Waco has history, and that's what I like. I like history. So I started kind of learning about East Side Waco downtown, the Tornado Memorial, the Doris Miller, the museum, like all this stuff. And I started learning on my own. So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Corey is a big part of my journey here, Corey Dickman. So he offered me, to help him at the escape rooms. So that's what I did. So that was at the beginning. Before I started doing the escape rooms, I was kind of learning about the city on my own. But that took a pause. Like, I stopped doing that.
Right? So this is Waco Escape Rooms on the 700 block of Washington in downtown.
No, actually, that was on Lake Air.
Oh, back at the old location.
Yes, AE11 Lake Air, I think it was. So, yes, that's where, the escape rooms. So I was kind of busy. I was distracted doing, working with Corey, the escape rooms and learning and getting to learn more about the city I want to believe, right, and entrepreneurship and all the stuff. But why I mention this is because when I started learning on my own about Waco City, I had a little feeling that you asked me the original question about the tourism, but no at the level that is right now. I was just like, I want to do this to keep myself busy because I don't want to be bored doing nothing. And I learned about the city. I did have a little feeling that maybe Waco at some point will have the potential to do tourism, but not to the level that is right now. Maybe some people randomly escape, drive by and stop, and that's it. Not to the level that is right now.
The Waco Pedal Tours was a business that you had started with Jake Cockrell and Corey Dickman, who you mentioned, of Waco Escape Rooms. So I guess that you had just proven yourself to Corey through your time at the escape rooms. He knew you were the type of energy that we wanted, because Jake and Corey both said, hey, this is our business. We're going to help put it together, but we want Captain Danny being the one who's leading these tours.
Yes, that actually was for me the icebreaker. I don't know if that expression is correct, but I call it the icebreaker for me, because that's when everybody got to know who I am today. So working at the escape rooms, it was a great experience, right? But Corey and I, we knew that was not something for me for a long term. It was just the beginning of my journey, how I said, because the personality that I had back then, so it's always been like that. It's been like, making sure everybody be entertained. So when Corey and Jake came to me and said, hey, Danny, we have something for you that you cannot reject. So they presented to me, and I was like, yes, that's me. That's what I really want to be. That's what I belong, entertaining people and going outside, being in the four walls building. That's not me. That's never been me. So when they offered me that and they say, we want you to be part of this, and I was like, heck yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, and that's where the Captain Danny nickname came from.
If you look on TripAdvisor, Captain Danny has dozens of 5-star reviews, people saying, Captain Danny made me love Waco. I learned so much history of Waco that I had no idea existed. What were some of your favorite spots on your tours downtown? What were some of the things that you told people about Waco history-wise that they were found surprising, or maybe they stuck with you a few years later?
Right. So I want to say that the majority of the people today that they start coming to Waco is, I want to mention the Magnolia Effect, right? They want to come to see the silos, they want to see some houses, but also they want to see our city. So when we talk about history, so I want to make sure that they understand that whatever they see on the videos when they show the houses in the show, which the three main sites from Waco that they show on the videos or from the Fixed Rubber Show is the courthouse, the Suspension Bridge, and the Dr. Pepper Museum, and the Alico Building, of course. So I want to make sure that these people, when they get on the pedal tours, history or not history tours, make sure that they understand where they're standing and what those sites means, like the Suspension Bridge history, when it was built, who designed it, The Alico building, what happened with the tornado when the Alico building is stand still, the courthouse, I don't know if you knew this, but that was through, what's it called, Bonnie and Clay. It has part of the history. The Dr. Pepper Museum, right? And also the spa where we have the tornado memorial where the Dr. Pepper drink was invented on 1885. I don't know if you knew that, but I show these people all these spots through the pedal tours and also the bars. They want to go to the bars. They want to have fun. They want to drink on the bike. They want to go to, what else can I tell you, the backyard barbecue, the Showtime when it was open. I don't know if it's open right now. Potters. I never pronounced that right. It's Potters. Potters.
So people get on a boozy bike cruise with you.
Yes.
So you are emceeing this bike. There's an electric assist if you're going up a really steep hill. But the bike is moved by the riders rotating their feet, and they're drinking while they're doing it.
So originally, that was the concept that we brought. Everybody will pedal. Okay, let's move. Let's have fun, right? But let's face it, Waco is not 100% flat like other cities like Austin, San Antonio, Fort Worth. So Waco has its hills, right? So it was a challenge at the beginning doing that concept. People like it, but after the third or fourth beer, they don't care. Just take me. I don't want to pedal. So the Waco pedal tours start changing the system. So, okay, let's do more party experience, more let's have a great time and don't worry about pedaling. So at some point, the bike was doing both. You pedal, but also we have a motor assist. You get tired, we take care of you. Don't worry about it, right? Today, Waco Pedal Tours has changed the entire concept. I'm not sure, and I don't know if I can talk too much about it. But any questions, you can ask WacoPedalTours.com.
But these are big bikes that Waco Pedal Tours does. These are 12, 14-person bikes. And you learned enough from that experience that you were actually able to start your own company doing a smaller version of Petty Tours.
Yes. So, okay, and I want to say that the Waco Pedal Tours is still in me. It has in me a great, great impact. And I'm really thankful about this because that's how people get to know me. So I was taking that advantage to me in order to start my own company. So one day I talked to Corey and Jake and I said, hey guys, I love you guys, but I think we have to, follow through with different separate ways. So Corey always being supportive, always, every decision I make, he was always giving me his inputs, point of view and advices. So with that help, I was started doing my own business, which is the Waco Pedicab Tours, the small bicycle most known as rickshaw, right? So when I started doing my own company, I decided to do only history tour. No party bus, no party bike, just history, with the option to be kind of like the same concept of the pedal tours, BYOB, but only two people per bike.
And did you have to change your curriculum very much? Like you're going from talking to 12 people who are probably drunk down to talking to only two people who might be sober. Did you have to change what you were showing, or were you able to experience different things because you had a smaller group on the bike?
I got to change the interaction a little bit. The experience and the personality, it will be the same. And nothing is going to change on my personality, right? But the format of the product, it will change a little bit because it was more educational, and historical than more focusing on party all night long. It was more like during the day, all right, let's show you these spots that I already mentioned before, going to Cameron Park, Riverwalk, and all the stuff, East Waco. Show the people how the city is growing and its history. Doris Miller Memorial, all the stuff. I am the only company with the pedicab tours that can go on the Riverwalk without problem because it's a bicycle. So I can go down the Riverwalk. Like I can even let people touch the water right there because we're on the Riverwalk. And come back. At the beginning, I was able to go through the suspension bridge with a bike, which was a cool experience. But now I can't because it's under remodelation. But that's the cool part of the pedicabs. You can go everywhere. You don't have limits, right? So you can go everywhere, even in Cameron Park. You can go in some places where a car won't fit, just the bicycle. So that's what it makes cool about the pedicabs.
You're hearing from Daniel Abarca. He is an entrepreneur in downtown Waco. Has had his hand in a lot of different tourism businesses, but is now using those hands for throwing knives and axes. This is a really exciting part of your development, Captain Danny. I have two of your axes in front of me on the table here, and I want you to tell people just really quickly what knife throwing is and axe throwing is, how you got into that, and then explain the significance of these two blades.
Yes, sir. Okay, so I started getting into the axe throwing because my good friend, also my duels partner, Thomas Ellis. Thomas Ellis, entrepreneur that started the axe throwing in Waco, Texas. So he started doing it with a trailer. And I started helping in the trailer, you know, and I really liked the concept of the throwing axes. Finally, he got his venue. So I was just throwing axes because I thought it was a cool thing to do, but I wasn't into it.
And this is a trailer that can show up at Brotherwell Brewing or other local community events so the public can try out axe throwing.
Right. So, you know, we start throwing, and with Thomas, you know, experience on the field, you know, about the concept, you know, the logistics about what our axe throwing it is. So I started learning from there, and I started doing like, okay, well, this is cool. So when I started getting into the actually competition, it was a few months later when I was like throwing, I was like, okay, I think I'm good at this. And I want to mention that this helped me because I also like to throw darts a lot and cornhole. So I've always been liking target games, basically. So I started getting into the axe throwing quickly, and I started doing better and better and better. And I really like my first tournament. Our first tournament was in Fort Worth, Texas. And we went, and I think I finished third place for being my first tournament. It was not the best, but it wasn't bad. Second tournament was in Tyler, Texas. Then the pandemic came, and everything shut down. I stopped for 3 or 4 months throwing, and then I retake it. And then I started going and going and better and better. And then I started going to big tournaments, major tournaments, like in Houston, in Dallas area, and some other places where the competition was high. So I wanted to get better and better to represent Waco in the axe throwing community. So my first axe that I was throwing, it was the Ace of Spades. I bought it from the venue, from the league. My current thrower, this is a brand Plum. So this axe is a Girl's Scout, which were only made few. So this is very rare to find. This axe was made in 1946.
So back in the 40s, the Girl Scouts of America were making axes for young women to throw when they were at camps. And you have one of the axe heads from the 40s.
Actually, I had three. And I saw one and I donated one, which everybody were crazy when I do that. So the pattern of this aspect for this axe is they call national pattern, but this is with a Girl Scout shield, which again is very rare to find. The blade is 4 inches, which is the max, you know, you can have on an axe, on a hatchet to compete. If you have more of the blade, it won't be legal. It has to be max of 4 inches on the blade. So this is the current axe that I've been throwing. And I've been competing against pro axe throwers, and I have beat a few of them. So I can consider myself that I'm pro. So this is really, really gave a really good performance in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And that is maybe an 18-inch handle on this.
That's 16 and a half, that one. That's for my hatchet. For now, for my big axe, it's another Plum. As you can see, I'm a Plum guy. That's the brand that it really makes me happy and I feel comfortable with. I can throw any other axes, but no, it doesn't feel the same on me. So this one that I'm having here is a Plum big axe or single bit, right? These were made. Also, this one is an Explorer Plum that it was used in the Boy Scout, you know, community to chop. You know, it's a bigger axe. It has a 5'4" and 5/8". So it's bigger. It's to compete, you know, on the discipline that we call big axe. So the axe has different disciplines, hatchets, duels, big axe, and that's it. So this one is the Plum again, and I made my handle. So this is Purple Heart right here in the middle, which is very exotic wood, and white oak. And I did the burning, and I did all these little fractal things right here with my hand, with Dremel. So these are my two competition axes.
They're really beautiful. I can tell that you've spent a lot of time customizing these to make sure that they're weighted properly and flying the right way that you want it to. Help our listeners understand the process. So you are at a axe throwing competition, or you're at Waco Axe Company. You step in, you've got the target in front of you. Are you throwing two hands? Are you throwing a single hand? Are you chunking it as fast as you can? What's the thought process and the theory behind throwing axes?
When you start throwing an axe without experience, most people, or 90% of the people, throw a baseball throw. They do a baseball throw, you know, grab the axe and throw as hard as you can. So with the time, you start dominating different techniques, right? People do flick. People do like a step and throw. In my case, I had learned from so many axe throwers in the community. There's one guy that I always give it credit for. His name is Michael Barton. He's in Houston area. And he's been like my non-official coach, basically, because the way he's throwing, I've been learning from him. So he has this weird grip that he goes like all the way like this, which is weird because, you know, it hurts right here. So what I do is I try to combine his style with my own style. So I kind of do the same thing, but instead of forcing more of my wrist towards me, I go a little flat. So I just let the axe go by itself. So instead of going here, I go just here.
So the axe is parallel with the ground at this point, and you're holding it in front of you, and then you're going to flick with your wrist.
So when I go to the target, so I have the bullseye on top of my thumb, my right hand on the thumb. So that's my aiming. So every time I throw, I bring the head of the axe towards my chin, and when I go this, only my arm and my wrist will make the axe rotate. So instead of going back to my head, it's just in front of me the whole time, right here. And I don't know how you call this grip, but I'm not even have a name for it. We might have to have a name. But I just go like this. Let's call it chin rotation. There we go. I like it. Chin rotation.
And that's your award-winning toss. That's what you're going to be taking to the championships.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm going to use for sure.
So Captain Danny and his partner Thomas are going to be at the World Axe Throwing Championships that are in Fort Worth next weekend. This is December 10th, 11th, and 12th. And you're not only participating in axes, you're also participating in knives.
Yes, sir. I'm also participating in knives. The knives are actually in my backpack right now. And that's a new discipline that is going to take over for the first time in the community. And I qualify for that one too.
So what's the differences between throwing an axe and throwing a knife?
The weight and the distance. From an axe, you throw from the 12-foot line, right, for the axe. You throw from the 12-foot line for the hatchet, and the 15 from big axe. From the knife, you throw from the 10-foot line and 15-foot line. So you have 5 throws from the 10-foot line and 5 throws from the 10-foot line.
What is the community like of people who are into throwing axes and knives, just in general?
It's really supportive. You know, I want to say that the community welcome you great. You know, if you're new, they will help you. But also there's a lot of competition. So don't get too good too soon. I want to say that. Take your steps. I'm just kidding. No. The community is really good. They will support you. They will give you what you need. You will ask for advices. They will help you the way you want to be helped, and sometimes beyond. All you have to do is just be honest, be yourself, enjoy the sport, respect the axes, and just, you know, have fun.
It's still niche enough or small enough that there probably isn't a ton of infighting inside. They're wanting to increase the size of the pie. They want more people to come and be part of axe throwing. I know that in Waco, at least, we have, what I know of, 2 places to throw. We have the Waco Axe Co., and we also have Stumpy's Hatchet House. Is there anywhere else that I'm not thinking of?
Well, if you count the trailers that go at different events, that will be a third one owned by Waco Axe Co.
So if listeners are interested in what you're doing, they're not on the level to go participate in a world championship, but they want to try this out, what might someone experience if they went over to Waco Axe?
Well, if you go to Waco Axe Co., which is on 1526 Washington Avenue, well, first of all, you're going to feel welcoming. You're going to feel like we already know you by the time you book your line or make your reservation to throw axes. You're already been welcome. Once you get there, you're going to have a well-trained coaches. They will train you. They will show you how to throw an axe from ground up. And don't worry, if you don't stick the first time, you will go home saying that at least you stick one time, or at least you got a bullseye. So they're going to entertain you. They're going to show you the steps. They want to make sure you're safe. And as many league members that we have today, if people walk into Wakewax's company and you get a little bug of throwing axes, we have also league nights. We have four seasons during the year. You can join us. We help you. Thomas, myself, Will, Craig, also going to World Championship. And who else? Chris Simmons, he also going to World Championship. We will help you how to be good on throwing axes. We have the experience, and you're going to have a great time.
So Waco is going to be very well represented at the World Championships.
Yes, that's the goal.
When people come to Waco Axe Company, are you typically there? Like, are you there sort of like the tour guide in the way that you were the tour guide on the Waco Pedicabs?
I did at first before I started getting more competitive on this one. Right now, unfortunately, I have a family. I have three kids. I have my wife. I have my business and have so many other random stuff to do, you know, as you can tell. I'm not there as often as used to be. But whenever I had the opportunity to be there and coach people, I just make sure they have a great time. You know, not just because I'm good in this sport and I'm representing Waco, or we are representing Waco in the World Championship, I'm going to feel like, oh, yeah, look, I am the best, right? No, I'm the deal. No. I'll just always remember where I come from, so how people got to know me and where I'm standing right now. So I want to make sure that they have that from me, my personality, to have a great time. Even if you think you suck at throwing axes, I'm going to make sure that you have a great time. But at least you can say that somebody that is going to the World Championship was your coach. You know, just with me, Will goes there all the time. Thomas always, well, he's his business, but he always show his personality. No, he's the owner. He's just his personality and he is. And that's the same thing with me. We want people to experience the personality, the person, the people.
And you really are going to these World Championships with the full support of Waco behind you. There have been lots of community members and businesses who are supporting you.
Yes, we have a business in town. I have four sponsors. I have Doug Charles Anderson, you know, state representative. So he's been my sponsor for a few months. I have my business, Waco Pedicab Tours. So I put it as a, because I pay some tournaments with my money. So I have my business. I have a Waco Axe Company, for sure. We have, oh my gosh, who is the other one? I have a friend in Montana. He does axe restoration, which is kicking axe restoration. So he's also my sponsor. And then we're looking for more.
Terrific. Well, Captain Danny, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your amazing story with us here on Downtown Depot. And we wish you the best in Fort Worth. I hope that your axes and knives fly true.
Thanks, man. It was a really great pleasure being here, man. Thank you for your time.
Thanks again to Daniel Abarca and to you for tuning in to episode 116 of Downtown Depot here on Waco Public Radio. If you happen to be in Fort Worth next weekend, be sure to check on Captain Danny at the championships or find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News for updates. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.